Welcome back to Zephyr News, a weekly production of FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. Zephyr News is broadcast each Thursday evening from 7 to 7:30 p.m. This week's show features a contribution from the Sacramento Observer. Segments from KZFR community members include a story on a Sterling City school for sale by Maddie Vannucci, a report on Paradise water quality by Hope Brianna Campbell, a piece on Orville's new Opportunity Zone by Maddie Vannucci, a segment on middle trail maintenance by Hope Brianna Campbell, and news releases by David Foos.
This is Maddie Vannucci with Zephyr News. The future of the former Brakeville School property in Sterling City sparked passionate discussion at a Paradise Unified School District board meeting, where more than 15 residents traveled from Sterling City to voice concerns over a proposal to sell the surplus property to local nonprofit Love Chico. The board received a presentation from Love Chico representative Rob Berry, who outlined plans to transform the school into a Camp Sterling, a community retreat, education, and service camp. The proposal is part of the district's surplus property process. Love Chico has offered $100,000 to purchase the property, which the nonprofit said has an estimated value of approximately $350,000, but requires more than $528,000 in deferred maintenance. According to Berry, Love Chico would preserve the existing buildings while creating a multi-use facility designed to serve a wide range of community members. "Our vision is to create a venue for learning, service, retreats, and recreation," Berry said. Plans for Camp Sterling include a community lodge, retreat cabins, outdoor learning areas, recreation facilities, and an event lawn and nature trails. The nonprofit said that the site would host week-long camps and serve youth, veterans, foster families, nonprofits, and other community organizations. Love Chico said it would offer outdoor education, youth leadership development, and veteran retreats while generating revenue through retreat rentals, weddings, and community events. Love Chico outlined a three-phase development plan. Phase one would be self-funded by the nonprofit with more than $600,000 in rehabilitation over the course of 1 year. Phase two would rely on partnerships, grants, fundraising, and volunteer support while evaluating available resources and timelines. Phase three would focus on site-generated revenue, community investment, and expanded programming to ensure long-term stewardship. While the presentation emphasized preserving a community asset and creating a sustainable resource, many of the Sterling City residents questioned both the proposal and the process used to bring it before the board. Several residents said they only learned about the proposal shortly before the meeting. Cheryl Hawkins criticized the district's communication with residents. "We just found out about this yesterday," Hawkins told the board, adding that she was very disappointed with how the process had been handled. Community member Aurora Hart said that there was a significant lack of information available to the public and urged the board to proceed cautiously. "There's talk about sustainability when it comes to the funds that are coming to your nonprofit and maintaining the property," Hart said. "But other than that, I really struggle to see where this is going as far as benefiting the community, because everything that was listed is income-based for your nonprofit, not giving back to the community in any shape or form." Sterling City resident Dan Pickard argued that the community had been deprived of a fair opportunity to submit competing proposals. "The Sterling City residents are here because the Brakeville site is ours," Pickard said. "The district has allowed this important community asset to sit vacant, deteriorating for over 10 years despite the clear community interest and educational uses." Pickard also claimed that the required public notice did not effectively reach the community, resulting in only one offer for the property. "We demand that the board reject the Love Chico offer, apply the agreed criteria we developed together, and reopen a fair, transparent, competitive process with proper local notice so that all serious proposals can be considered on merit," Pickard said. In addition to this, Pickard wants to offer an alternative vision for the site. He proposed developing a specialized nanotechnology education program that could eventually connect with the California State University and University of California campuses to create a technical opportunity for local youth. "There are no opportunities for youth in the technical path here," he said, later adding, "They're not bad kids, but they don't have the inspiration to achieve. I feel strongly that we should have fair access to this." Pickard also noted that he would be involved in this process as a former professor in nanotechnology. Throughout the public comment period, several audience members appeared visibly unhappy with the proposal and repeatedly questioned whether the project's financial model would primarily benefit the nonprofit rather than the Sterling City community. Noted that they already have a wedding venue and a community center that this Love Chico Camp Sterling would take from. Following the discussion, Board Vice President Richard Gingery Jr. said no action would be taken on the proposal at this time. Gingery thanked the large group of residents for making the trip to attend the meeting. "Our goal is to effectively communicate with them," Gingery said. "I'm thankful that they take that much pride in where they live." This has been Maddie with Zephyr News.
This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News. If you live in Paradise or receive your water from the Paradise Irrigation District, you may have seen recent headlines about the district's latest drinking water report. The Paradise Irrigation District recently released its annual Consumer Confidence Report, which outlines the results of thousands of water quality tests conducted throughout 2025. According to the report, the district's drinking water met all the state and federal drinking water regulations. However, the report also showed that several contaminants were detected at levels above California's public health goals, which are more protective than the legal enforceable standards used by regulators. The Paradise Irrigation District annual Consumer Confidence Report states that rigorous and ongoing testing reveals that Paradise Irrigation District's drinking water continues to meet and exceed California and federal public health standards. The district's annual water quality report, also known as the Consumer Confidence Report, has just been released and reflects district-wide monitoring and testing in the 2025 calendar year and prior. The report also notes that trace amounts of naturally occurring hexavalent chromium were detected. Again, those levels comply with current federal and state regulations, but are above California's health goals, which is intentionally set much lower than enforceable standards. Officials with Paradise Irrigation District emphasize that the water remains safe to drink and that the district conducts extensive testing year-round. Water samples are collected throughout the treatment process and distribution system to ensure water quality remains consistent from the treatment plant all the way to customers' taps. District staff say protecting public health remains their top priority and that they continue to monitor both regulated and emerging contaminants. The report also highlights the district's overall water supply. During 2025, Paradise Irrigation District delivered more than 1.23 billion gallons of drinking water to customers. Reservoir storage remains in good condition, with Paradise Lake and Megalia Reservoir providing several years' worth of water under current demand if no additional inflow were received. Reflecting the district's continued recovery and long-term planning following the campfire. The district encourages customers to review the full Consumer Confidence Report, which explains every substance that was tested, how much was detected, and what those results mean. Annual water quality reports like this one help provide transparency, giving residents the information they need to better understand where their water comes from, how it's treated, and how it's monitored every day. This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News.
Black Love GPT centers Black healing in new AI platform. This article was published June 15th. 2026, on the Sacramento Observer, by Nima Abeladik. As artificial intelligence becomes highly embedded in daily life, More technologists are developing culturally specific AI platforms designed to address communities they say mainstream systems have ignored. One of the newest entrants into that growing field is BlackLoveGPT, launched June 1st by Sacramento-based Reverend Dr. Felipe Shock Matthews. A research scientist, philosopher, and longtime technology entrepreneur who says the tool is built to center Black history, relationships, identity, and healing. The trend of culturally specific artificial intelligence comes as Americans use AI at record levels and raises concerns about bias, representation, and whose experiences are reflected in technology. A 2025 Pew Research Center finding shows that nearly a third of Americans interact with AI several times a day, while only 19 believe Black perspectives are represented properly in AI design. Matthews, whose work spans digital media and internet systems, and who has conducted more than 3,000 interviews on culture and consciousness, believes technology can offer a new way towards healing. Quote, "I've always been a tech guy," Matthew says, describing a career that includes launching early digital platforms and building large-scale knowledge archives before the rise of modern AI systems. Quote, "When AI came out, I said, I'm going to program our history into it." End quote. BlackLoveGPT, a free AI platform, was built to correct what he views as a fundamental gap in mainstream artificial intelligence systems: the absence of Black historical background and lived experience. Black love did not fail. Black love was attacked, Matthew says, framing the platform as a response to what he calls generational, systemic, emotional injury. At the center of the tool is a reframing of personal struggle. Quote, "Nothing's wrong with you. Something happened to you," he says. "If you don't know your history, you don't understand that you're under a code." Matthew describes code as a social and historical operating system, influencing behavior, relationships, and identity. Quote, "Think of it like America has programmed this like a computer," he says. "So you're an operating system, and your operating system is based on self-destruction." BlackLoveGPT, he says, is designed to interrupt that cycle by giving users a private, non-judgmental space to explore relationships and emotional patterns. Instead, Matthew says, what it gives users is, here's why this happened to you. Here's what you can do with it. He adds that the platform is not meant to replace human wisdom, but is to restore access to it. Quote, "The goal is to teach you how to teach yourself," he says. Quote, "My goal is to educate, emancipate, and liberate as many Black people as possible as it relates to relationships," end quote. Still, Matthews is explicit that he sees AI development itself as uneven and culturally biased. Quote, "The people who created AI don't like us and didn't create it for us," he says, arguing that Black users need tools that reflect their histories rather than erase them. The launch comes as scholars in communication and technology studies examine both the promise and limits of culturally specific AI systems. Dr. Temeca Tounsell, Associate Professor of Communication at the University of Washington, says that Black-centered AI tools are a quote-unquote welcome idea in principle because they attempt to correct long-standing biases in artificial intelligence systems. Quote, "These models are specifically designed not to perpetuate the biases that we see in other AI," Tounsell says. Quote, "And there is a real need for Black people to be involved in developing these tools, because it helps ensure that Black experiences and Black truths are part of how these systems understand the world," end quote. At the same time, she cautions that AI systems are only as strong as the data behind them, and that representation alone is not enough. Quote, "Whoever's designing those algorithms is learning from data," she says. Quote, "I would want to know what data sets are being used," end quote. Other scholars raise some structural concerns about whether AI can authentically reflect Black experience. Dr. Tierra Tanksley, a research fellow in critical technology studies at UCLA and Spencer Foundation AI and education fellow, argued that Blackness itself resists the logic of artificial intelligence systems. Quote, "Blackness is not a monolith," she says. "AI is designed to find an average output. Blackness is not average. It is creative, futuristic, and generative in ways that data cannot fully capture." She adds that AI systems are built on historical structures that cannot be separated from the results. Quote, "AI, as it currently exists, is rooted in eugenics, colonialism, anti-Blackness, and racial slavery," Tinkley says. Quote, "These systems are dependent upon racialized death, environmental destruction, and data extraction," end quote. Tanksley also warns that AI tools designed for emotional support and relationships may carry risks, including over-reliance and distorted feedback loops. Quote, "These systems are designed to be agreeable," she says, "but agreeability is not the same as care, and is not the same as truth," end quote. Matthews explained that Black Love GPT was created and programmed to give users culturally honest responses. Quote, "Black Love GPT was not built to make Black people feel temporarily better," Matthews says. "It was built to give the diaspora a culturally honest, spiritually grounded, historically informed space where healing is no luxury, but a right. We cannot repair what we were never taught to name, and Black Love GPT begins the naming." In spite of differing views, all three experts agree that AI is already determining how people understand identity, relationships, and emotional life, and that Black experience must be part of its development. For Matthew, that inclusion is both technological and spiritual. Quote, "You don't attract what you want," he says. "You attract what you are," end quote. As conversations about the future of AI continue, Black Love GPT enters the conversation with a clear mission to ensure that Black history, Black humanity, and Black healing are not afterthoughts in the digital age, but foundational how technology serves the people it touches. That is all for this article. If you would like to read it yourself, you can find it on the Sacramento Observer. And this is Micah from Game Amp Play for Zephyr News.
This is Maddie Vinucci with Zephyr News. A little known federal tax incentive program could play a significant role in Oroville's economic future. And city officials say they're moving quickly to position the community for the opportunity. During this week's Planning Commission meeting, city staff outlined plans to pursue designation under California's new Opportunity Zone 2.0 program. If approved, the designation would make several areas of Oroville eligible for federal tax incentives intended to encourage long-term private investment programs. The program is aimed at economically disadvantaged census tracts, but officials cautioned that eligibility does not guarantee selection. According to staff, California has roughly 6,500 eligible census tracts, yet state law allows the governor to nominate only about 1,600 of them for federal designation. That means communities across the state will be competing for a limited number of Opportunity Zone designations. To improve Oroville's chances, city staff said that they have been preparing for months. They have attended multiple state webinars, coordinated with Butte County officials, and identified six census tracts they believe present the strongest case for investment.
Those proposed areas include much of downtown Oroville, the Airport Business Park, existing industrial areas, and several locations targeted for future economic development. Staff said the city's strategy is to highlight sites that are ready for development, demonstrate existing public investment, and show the potential for future job creation. Commissioners expressed support for the effort, noting that many cities are only beginning to organize their applications, while Oroville has already developed a detailed proposal. Staff also acknowledged some of the limitations of the original Opportunity Zone program. Because investment data is generally reported through federal tax filings, local governments have had little ability to measure exactly how much private investment was generated in their communities. However, studies from other states suggest Opportunity Zones have been successful in attracting significant residential and commercial development, particularly multifamily housing projects. The city's Opportunity Zone designation remains in effect through the end of 2028, regardless of the outcome of the new application. Even so, officials said obtaining the updated designation would position Oroville to remain competitive for future private investment as the current program phases out. The timeline is tight. Staff plans to present the proposal to the City Council in early July before the state's application deadline later this month. While no action was required from the Planning Commission, the presentation underscored the city's broader economic development strategy. If Oroville's application is successful, the designation could become an important tool for attracting investors to key redevelopment areas over the coming years. For now, city officials say the focus is on submitting the strongest application possible in what they expect will be a highly competitive statewide process. With Zephyr News, this has been Maddie Vinucci.
This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News. One of Chico's greatest treasures is Bidwell Park. And thanks to a dedicated group of volunteers, one of its most popular hiking routes is getting some much-needed care. Recently, volunteers gathered to work on Middle Trail in Upper Bidwell Park, spending the day improving sections of the trail that have seen wear from heavy use, weather, and erosion. In Chico Enterprise Record by Lexi Lin, it states that volunteers grabbed safety glasses and gloves before heading out and were advised to call 911 in case of an emergency situation. It also states the first group began at the start of Lower Trail and worked their way up to the start of Middle Trail. Maintenance included trimming back and roaching vegetation on the sides of the trail, most notably yellow star thistle and Medusa head grass weeds. Both weeds are non-native invasive species in Bidwell Park. While trail maintenance may not always be the most visible volunteer work, it's among the most important. Every shovel of dirt moved and every drainage feature repaired helps keep rainwater from washing out trails, reduces environmental impacts, and creates a better outdoor experience for thousands of visitors each year. Volunteer trail days offer something beyond physical work. They are an opportunity for neighbors to meet, learn about sustainable trail building, and give back to one of Chico's most valued public spaces. Many participants say they leave with a greater appreciation for the work that goes into maintaining the park and protecting its natural beauty. It also states in the Chico Enterprise Record, Chico Velo Trail Works, established in 2014, contributes hundreds of volunteer hours each year to maintaining and stewarding trails in Butte County. Currently, the nonprofit organization is in the process of revamping the Colby Mountain Recreation Area after the 2018 campfire devastated the land. This is another reminder that caring for public lands isn't just the responsibility of park staff. It's something the entire community can take part in. Through volunteerism and stewardship, Chico residents continue to demonstrate their commitment to preserving one of Northern California's most cherished outdoor spaces. This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News.
This is David Foose for Zephyr News. The Chico Area Recreation and Park District, or CARD, invites the community to celebrate Independence Day at its annual 4th of July parade in downtown Chico. The celebration begins at 9 a.m. with two T-38 jets from Beal Air Force Base at 1,000 feet above Main Street. The parade begins at 3rd Street and winds through downtown, ending up at City Plaza. Following the parade, there will be a free performance by the 191st Army Band. Woodstock's pizza and food trucks will be on hand. With the 4th of July holiday approaching, Butte County District Attorney Mike Ramsey reminded the public that any possession of fireworks, even those designated as safe and sane, within the unincorporated portions of Butte County is illegal and strictly prohibited. Only the cities of Oroville, Gridley, and Biggs allow the sale of so-called safe and sane fireworks within their city limits. Lighting or even possessing fireworks outside those city limits is illegal and subject to fines up to $1,000 and 6 months in the county jail. Ramsey warned that any fire, whether intentionally or negligently set by fireworks, would be prosecuted as a felony. The North Valley Community Foundation announced that it has opened two funds in response to the June 22nd shooting at the Chico branch of the Butte County Library after connecting with the families of the two victims. A memorial fund for Robert Johnson, 74, of Orland, will benefit the Chico Library at the family's request. A memorial fund for Jacob Cody Hull, 46, of Chico, will benefit his family and the young girl injured during the shooting. You may donate online at nvcf.org or by mail to their office at 811 Concord Avenue, Suite 220, Chico, California, 95928. The City of Chico, in partnership with the Downtown Chico Property-Based Improvement District, or PBID, announced the Park and Go initiative, which will allow up to 2 hours of free parking in all city-managed downtown Chico parking lots between July 1st and September 30th. Street parking is not included in the deal. To avoid a parking ticket, a driver must start the free parking session via a kiosk or parking app. The Downtown Chico Property-Based Improvement District, PBID, is an organization of downtown property owners established to promote the civic, economic, and cultural vitality of downtown Chico. The City of Chico announced the appointment of Gillian Hain as the next city manager. Hain will replace Mark Sorensen, who is retiring after 4 years in the position. Hain left her job as assistant city manager for the City of Vallejo to take the job in Chico. California Governor Gavin Newsom announced that the site's reservoir project will be receiving another $268 million from the California Water Commission. The purpose of the site's reservoir is to capture water from the Sacramento River during wet seasons and store it for use in drier seasons. Butte County began work Monday on the South Oroville Safe Routes to School, or SRTS, project. Construction will improve roads, sidewalks, bike facilities, drainage, and pedestrian safety features. Affected areas are Monte Vista Avenue from Lincoln Boulevard to Lower Wyandotte Road, Autry Lane from Monte Vista Avenue to Las Plumas Avenue, and Lower Wyandotte Road from Monte Vista Avenue to Las Plumas Avenue. Roadways will remain open, but motorists can expect up to 15-minute delays. Finally, the City of Chico began work on the Fair Street Rehabilitation Project on June 29th. The work involves full-depth reclamation of Fair Street from East Park Avenue to East 20th Street. The project will include the installation of Class 2 bike lanes, new sidewalks, landscape parkway zones, and upgrades to ADA facilities. Motorists should plan for temporary delays and occasional one-way traffic. This is David Foos for Zephyr News.
Zephyr News is produced by Trevor Parks, Lorenz Weissel, and KZFR volunteers. Listeners may send tips for stories to news@kzfr.org or by using the Submit a Story icon on kzfr.org. This program is made possible by the financial support of listeners like you. You can support KZFR's journalistic endeavors by visiting kzfr.org/donate. Subscribe to Zephyr News on your favorite podcast platform and share your thoughts on social media. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next week.